Happy feast day.
Happy feast day, Father.
Holy Mary, Mother of God. I don't know if you understand the point of having a feast day of Mary, Mother of God, and making it a holy day of obligation. And congratulations for making it here safely. I pray that you make it home safely as well, especially the most cities are not plowing the streets as well now because of economic times. But why do we have Holy Mary, Mother of God? Why do we have that as a feast day? And I know it sounds kind of strange, but it's actually there to declare who Jesus is. There were a lot of heresies going on at the time, and it was really a final statement on it. It was the last big challenge they had on who Jesus was. Most heresies were either saying he was either God and he wasn't human being, or he was just a human being, but he was definitely not God. See, people at that time couldn't understand why God would come into the world. And if God came into the world knowing us sinners, that would demean God. And so that would be a disservice to God if God became man. That's the way they were thinking. But through the power of God, God is divine, God is perfect. Nothing can demean him. He is all-powerful. And through the incarnation, the divinity does not get demeaned, but rather humanity is raised. When we look here in this idea of that Paul has in Galatians, why is it so important? What's this connection with Mother Mary? Holy Theotokos, as they call it. Today is actually commemoration of the declaration of Mary, Holy Theotokos, which means the bearer of God, the mother of God. Now, what does it have to do with Jesus? Well, the mother of, we know that Jesus only had one child, the mother of God, so we're talking about Jesus. What you're saying there is Jesus is God. He's divine. He has a divine nature, which means he is perfect. He is the mother of God. Now, the understanding is that you understand that Jesus would have to be a human being. Why? Well, when you reflect about it, if I were to talk about myself, you would understand that I would have to say that my mother is a human being. I mean, you look at me, you see a human being, and you say, well, his mother must be a human being, right? I remember that movie Alien. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Alien. It's kind of one of those thriller movies. They're out in space, and they have this alien on the spaceship. And one of the astronauts, a female astronaut, she has this nightmare, and she's giving birth. And when she gives birth, boom, out comes an alien. And it's like a scary moment. It's like, whoa, she gives birth to an alien. And everybody gets scared. You kind of jump because this monster alien comes out and attacks people, right? Why is it scary? I mean, why is it scary that an alien would come out of a womb of a human being? It's because it's not natural. There's something wrong with a woman giving birth to an alien, right? Blah, and all those things come up and all this going on. So in the same way, you know, when it's natural for a woman to give birth to a human being. And that's the same with Mary. Mary gives birth to a human being, Jesus. So he is both divine and human. This is so important to understand. Why? Because if Jesus is not divine, then he does not have the power to save. If he is not human, then God is not with us and has never been with us. It has to be both. And when you look here in the very logic of Paul of Galatians, when the fullness of time had come, God sent a son born of a woman, born under the law. Under the law. which means he was subject to all law. The Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, you know, all those laws. Oh my goodness, when are we going to get done reading through all this stuff, right? All those laws he was subject to, the Jewish, the Israelite laws, the Roman laws. Yeah, even the Roman laws, even the human laws he was subject to. He had to do that. He had to go through the circumcision. Mary was subject to the laws. She had to go through the purification, all that, even though she was Immaculate Conception. They subjected themselves to the law because they were human in every way, and they wanted to be the example before others. So they had to be obedient to them. Jesus had to be obedient to his parents. He was divine. He was God, but he had to be obedient to them. He was under the law. To ransom those under the law. To ransom those under the law. Now, see, what happened is this is an issue of justice. There has to be a human being paying the price of the injustice of Adam and Eve and all the sins in the world. Because it's human beings that sin and offend God. That's just simply justice. I'll give you an example. This is a little of my confession. I gave an example of this before in my homilies before, but there was a time when I was younger. I was in grade school. I don't know how old I was, but we're at the easement. We lived in a subdivision that had a lake there, and they had an easement about 60 foot wide with houses right on each side. And we were trying to throw down the hill into the lake. And it was probably a good 80 feet, maybe 100 feet long. And so I was throwing these stones with my friends and stuff like that at the lake. We were just bouncing it into the lake, or maybe it would make the lake and stuff like that. My arm was getting a little sore trying to throw these rocks into the lake. And I grabbed this one rock. It was flat. I threw this rock. And if you know much about flat rocks, I learned really quickly, they curve. And I threw this rock with all my might, thinking, oh my, I gotta make it into the lake. And it took like a right turn. It just curved off to the right. And it was heading towards this house. And I'm like, oh no. Here it is. It's going way up high. And I'm like, oh man, I hope it's going to miss. It started to curve away from the house, but it just nicked the window. And it cracked the window. I'm like, oh no. And we put everything down and everything. We pretended at the bus stop. We're at the bus stop. We pretended nothing happened. Of course, I did get caught. I got caught. And unfortunately, it was one of those windows. It was a gas-permeated window at the time in the 1980s. It was an expensive window. It was like $800. And so I got caught. My dad had to pay the full price of it, right? As a child, a grade schooler, I couldn't pay it, right? I couldn't pay it at all. My dad paid it. So all his graciousness, he paid it. But I had to do household chores to help make up for that. Now, if he told my brothers and sisters to do extra chores around the house, that would have been unjust to do that. But it was just to have me do the extra stuff, the mowing of the lawns and everything else that my mom would have me do or whatever, which my mom was merciful too. So, so the person who does the injustice has to pay some sort of price for it. And when it comes to Jesus Christ is the one who pays the price for us. He's kind of like my dad. He pays the price. Humanity has to pay the price. Now, we still have to do our little part, like we have to do our household chores, do our penance, go to confession, do our penance. But Jesus Christ pays the fullness of the price. And it was of the same nature, the humanity, that has to pay the price. And so that's where in humanity of Jesus, justice and mercy meet. You see, in Jesus Christ on the cross, justice and mercy are no longer opposed to each other, but they come together as one. And Jesus Christ pays the full price for us. And that's why it's so important to know and understand that Jesus Christ is truly God and truly man. Now, as it so happens to be, all our understanding comes from this holy Theotokos. And, of course, our Mother Mary. Because without Mary, there would be no Jesus. Mary is chosen by God. God does not use somebody and then throw them away as some sort of tool. We're all chosen, and nobody is ever replaceable, and neither is Mary. So Mary is chosen to bring forth Jesus Christ and to raise him up. Now, as Mary is Mother of God, she is also Queen Mother, as Bathsheba is. If you look in the Old Testament, Bathsheba interceded for a certain young man before Solomon, and it was granted. Bathsheba had that power, that authority to intercede before the king. And our Mother Mary, Queen Mother, has the power to intercede before our King, Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we have such a great mother interceding for us because she gave him his humanity that he may do his work of mercy. And if it's through his humanity that he does his work of mercy on the cross, then it makes sense that he would use Mary, the very being by which he got his humanity, that he would use her to bring about salvation for us, mercy for us, and graces to us. She is a great advocate for us. She is somebody who loves us dearly because Jesus gave us to her as he was at the foot of the cross saying, "Behold, your mother." She is our mother too. And so we rejoice in such a great gift that God would be so good to intercede for us, give us a heavenly Father as we can say our Father, and give us a heavenly Mother too as well, that we can ask for graces that are bountiful.